Welcome to today's Power Up. Yay, happy Friday. Maude, how's your week been?
Yeah, look, thank God it's Friday, huh? This week was eerily like my last week, which was an awful lot like my week before, which was exactly like the week before that. Yeah, funny how that goes. Welcome to Power Up. This is where Trisha Hershberger and I, Maude Garrett, talk about what we've been playing, watching, and reading. But what am I, starting a car?
You got this.
It's guest week. We have a fantastic guest on this week who'll be talking about what she has been playing, watching, and reading. She's a dear friend of both Trisha and mine, you know, from Smosh Games. She is incredible at what she does, and I miss running into her every few weeks out in the wild. It is Mari Takahashi. Hello, Mari. Thank you so much for joining us on Power Up. How are you?
Hello, hello. I'm so happy to see you all. You know, the way that we see each other in 2020.
It's nice to have you there. How has it been? I know it's a bit, you know, small violin playing, but how have you been coping?
You know, taking it day by day like everybody, and at the same time, you know, just understanding that literally everybody in the entire world knows what's going on and everyone's kind of going through it together. It's the only silver lining, I suppose. One of the few silver linings, I suppose. We're all going through it together and there's a little bit of camaraderie there.
Most definitely. I've been feeling that for sure. It's one of the reasons I've been streaming on Twitch so much more, because I feel like it's a way to connect with other humans that live outside my household. Nothing against the humans that live inside my household. They're awesome. However, it's so nice to just think like, oh, what's it like in your corner of the world? Tell me about your day and experiences, and, you know, have that connection even though we're physically distanced.
Yo, I feel that. I was never a streamer until COVID hit. I've been a streamer for 2 months now.
So tell us about your streams. What are you doing?
Oh, yeah. So I've been doing a lot of, well, I always say, like, let's play a game, but I end up chatting for like an hour and a half. And really, it's, you know, to your point, it's just being able to connect with folks all around the world and just kind of have a regular conversation and connect and, you know, remind each other that we're all just human beings trying to figure out life and figure out 2020 as it is and all these things. And I totally agree. There's something very special about being able to live stream and have a connection, you know, live.
Have you been able to make it through, you know, the dreaded, what is that list, that the never-ending pile of never-ending games? You know what I'm talking about. I need a coffee.
You mean
what is this list?
The Steam library of games that you've purchased and not yet ever played?
Your pile of shame. Yes, the ones where you played it for about 20 minutes or you're like, oh, I'm stuck, I'm just going to put the controller down, and then you kind of forget all about it. Those games. Have you been making your way through that? Or have you just been making your way downtown, walking fast, faces?
I guess that's a good question. I think I've been playing, you know, I've been playing older games, but also setting that controller back down again, being like, you know, maybe this is just something I'll never finish, and that's okay. You know, there's perpetual games that I don't know if I'll ever finish. Like, I'm still playing the expansion in Witcher 3, and I don't ever want it to end.
Which one?
Blood and Wine, yeah.
Yeah,
and it's like, it's so good. I finished it, and I think it'll just be a perpetual game that, you know, I'll go back to without feeling like I have to end it.
Yes, I'm in the same with Witcher, especially because it's, you know, hundreds of hours, and it's always so great. What is the spell that you find yourself leaning into the most?
Oh, definitely Agni.
Agni?
Yeah. Setting people on fire? Oh my gosh, that one where it's just like, oh yeah, Agni, sorry.
Were you just like, Agni? What's that?
No. Yeah, no. Fire, and then the shield.
I will look it up.
Quick fact check on that one. While Maude is looking that up, Mari, have you ventured into any other types of streaming besides just straight Let's Plays? Like, have you ventured into IRL or creative or anything like that?
Not yet. I was gonna start doing creative streams Like drawing? I've gotten into drawing over COVID.
P.S. Your Instagram and like your drawing over pictures and stuff, I am living for it.
Thank you.
I love it. I downloaded the app that you said you used to do it once and tried it, and I realized I'm a horrible artist. I can't do it. So your skill. Dude.
No way. You're giving me way too much praise here, because it's just tracing over photos and then coloring it.
No, it's not, because I'm in Trisha's boat. I am, you know what, you can't be good at everything. And when they were distributing talents in the creative realm, I did not get an ounce of drawing or artistry at all. Like, stick figures are somewhat challenging for me sometimes. So yeah, praise where praise is due, and you should be showered in it, because I saw that as well. And that beautiful one with that draping dress, it was almost like your like ball gown. That was gorgeous.
Thank you. It's definitely something new, and it's like it's tied to you know, sponsored posts, but it's one of these things where I'm like, it's gonna continue because I enjoy doing it so much, and I'm doing it beyond just the sponsored posts. And I think that is, you know, the best of both worlds, when you can work with these companies that, you know, all of us have grown up with, and you know, to a degree we're like, oh, there's no way that I'm ever going to work with the Nintendos and the Microsofts and the Sony PlayStations of the world. And, you know, look at us being able to do that. Like, it's incredible. Like, I always go back to, you know, just being really grateful for getting to do what I get to do. And I'm sure, you know, y'all are in the same boat as well. It's like, I don't know if I ever envisioned myself being able to work with these companies that I grew up with. So yeah, very, very grateful.
It's awesome. But yeah, it was an ad for Surface, right?
Mm-hmm.
I learned the hard way. Do not try it on your phone with a thumb, which is what I was trying to recreate. The awesome work you do.
So
I'm like,
funny.
I'm legit on my, like, I'm like, I downloaded the app. And then first of all, I realized, oh, the app doesn't trace it and color it for you. Okay, I have some work to do. And then I'm like, and it looked heinous. I am embarrassed.
So
someday
now,
I will send you my fails.
You know,
So while you were talking about that, getting to work with companies like Nintendo, etc., I got a flashback. Back in Australia, I was like some pseudo sort of ambassador for the Nintendo DS, and all of the Nintendo games that came out. And I found one of the ads that I wouldn't mind playing for you, but I want you to hear my overtly Australian accent. I don't know how to play it properly, so I'm going to do it through here and put it on the screen. It was a gameplay segment.
Radio is a pretty exciting job.
Look at Mod!
I find myself on a plane all the time. But the good thing is I have two things with me always, a good book and my Pokemon Black and White in my DS.
I would have started
playing Pokemon on the Game Boy back in 1995.
I got the year wrong. It was 97. Anyway, that's Mod.
Mod, I do not think that overtly Australian accent sounds much different than your current overtly Australian accent.
I've got two things, a good book and Pokemon Black and White. I've been in this country for too long. My accent has definitely simmered down.
That's so good. I love it.
Mari, do you have
y'all are just veterans in the industry. I'm just, you know, so cool to be here.
Says the co-founder of Smosh Games.
Okay,
yes. Mari, do you have a brand that you have not gotten a chance to work with that's on your bucket list?
Oh man, a bucket list? Maybe Tesla? But I don't know why. It's just like, I think for like the badge of it, you know, it's just like, oh yeah, I got to work with Tesla.
If you want to drive all like the highest range cars and like do those test drives, that would be sick.
That would be awesome. Especially being able to be like on a track or something. I've never done a track day before, And so being able to take like Teslas on the track, that just sounds super badass. That would be fun.
That would be really fun.
Where they put a VR headset on you and they mapped out the track, that, but you actually drove a car in real life, but you could only see the game version.
Oh, it was the VR Mario Kart thing. Is that what you're talking about?
I think so.
There was a VR Mario Kart version, and I remember all the discussion around it was like, would you actually do this? Because it was, you were driving a real car, or I think it was a I think it was like one of those like electric powered car tracks that you can go to, but with a helmet on, so you weren't seeing anything in the physical reality that you were driving in, so you just had to trust that the VR you were seeing matched up with your physical space accurately.
And I was up against Zach Levi, and we were talking so much smack, so much, like I was like, I'm gonna take you down, but there were four of us. I get overtly competitive. I get really competitive. I'm the youngest of three. I have two older brothers. Like, it was game on, mole. And I was so confident and I went so fast and I was erratic with the whole thing because I was like, yeah, why not? Not my car. And I nearly took out like a $2,000 light where they were like, stop! And I was like, sorry. And kept driving.
Because you can't see anything. But I remember the cool thing about that being that they had it so like, if you hit another driver with a red shell, if we're thinking about the same thing, if you hit another driver with a red shell in the VR, it would cut off the electricity to their car and slow them down for a while.
Way.
So it was like actually being able to play Mario Kart in real life if you could get past the fact that you couldn't see anything.
Yeah, this
that's
just
awesome.
Yeah.
And you were playing with Zachary Levi, like Shazam Zachary Levi?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome.
And he's just like, I don't even care about this whole thing. All I want to do is beat Maud. And I was like, all right, buddy. So I made it a point. And he came in third place and I came in second.
Dang.
You're right, not competitive at all, Maud. I could never see it, I think. So, Mari, how are things in quarantine for you? What's a typical day for Mari look like right now?
Let's see. Well, Monday through Wednesday, I'm working on a new show called Speedrun on Quibi. And so, thank you. I'm working on those days, everything from interviewing people to doing on-camera hosting, writers meetings, things like that. The best part about the show is the fact that I get to interview folks that I may or may not have ever like come into contact with in the gaming industry. Just really, really fun, from game developers to community members who are doing really, really amazing things. And we've got a great one coming up, talking to somebody named Ebonic Sims, who's really, really big in the Sims modding community. And she started modding because she wanted to see more representation in Sims and really things that represented her. And so, you know, at first she wanted a dashiki, so she made that and she learned how to mod that. And then more and more members in the community are like, well, I want hair that looks like mine. I want more curls and I want more crimp and I want, you know, more shades of color that look like me. Because as much as EA, you know, and Sims is all about trying to simulate yourself in real life, there's still a lot of problems when it comes to diversity and being able to make yourself. So she's doing a lot of good stuff. So yeah, I'm really excited about the show. And that's Monday through Wednesday. And then the rest of the days is streaming and, you know, catching up on social. And I seem to pack my day off days with stuff because I don't know how to set boundaries for myself yet. And I'm like, yeah, I want to do this. And so I just continue to do that. But yeah.
How are you liking shooting from home? Like as soon as you logged on, everyone's like, your set just looks beautiful. What is it like sort of like working from home and having a set? Because I know that was like the biggest challenge. And you and I had a big conversation about like shooting from home life and the demands of it. And, you know, when audio doesn't work, you're the one that has to do everything again. So
for sure.
Many times. How have you been finding it all?
You know, the team is really, really good. They have all these fancy overlays on the camera that they sent me that shows my audio level and how it looks and all these parts of the camera that I have no idea about. Trisha probably could figure everything out, but you know, it's all of these like nooks and crannies of the camera that I've never seen, like what a LUT is. Anyway,
yeah,
they
I know what a LUT is from Martin Wong, actually. I know what one is from Martin Wong.
There you go. Mm-hmm. So yeah, they have a producer who watches my takes, and they're like, do it again, and maybe with this influx and whatnot. And so it's been really great working with their team. And the team is Polygon. Mm-hmm. They're absolutely awesome and kick ass. As far as shooting from home, you know, I've been really enjoying it because I really only have to like get dressed like halfway up. And like, other than that, I'm in either yoga pants or like pajama pants and you can't see anything. And I'm in slippers. Getting to wear headphones is great because it covers half of my head. And so you can't see my 4-inch roots and you can't see that I, you know, have done my hair like half-assedly. And, you know, I'm not hating it as much as I thought I would hate it. And, you know, the room keeps getting leveled up. I love talking about this wall. $69 from Home Depot, taped onto the wall, literally with tape.
It looks so good.
It looks like a dinosaur egg, and I think that's why I'm like loving it a lot. I feel like a velociraptor is gonna like, yeah.
And what's the neon sign behind you, Mari? What's that say?
Oh, this says The Grid, and this is a neon sign from Peter and I's old office that we used to have. And we used to call it The Grid, and it was just like an inside joke. You know, very like the whole aesthetic of the place was very Tron-like. So we had a lot of like neon lights and all that stuff. And so we called it The Grid. So it just sits on the floor because I don't know how to put it on the wall.
Yeah.
Really? So it just sits on the floor.
Everything you see is leaning against something in my backdrop. But I'm going to get a new one soon because I'm moving in a bit. So who knows what it'll look like then.
Dude, get this wall.
Maud's coming with me. That smile is fake. She's actually kidnapped her.
I know. I need to get my cutout back from Steve and put it like right over here in front of the door. I feel like that's the part that's missing something right now. Although my camera's a little off. It should be a little less door and a little more PC. But still, I feel like
how to get this Maud to talk so that she can actually fill in for me for
perfect
work.
You know what, you should use her as your stand-in, because one of the things that is hard for me, I don't know if it's hard for everybody else, one of the things that's hard for me when I'm shooting at home is focusing my own shots, because inevitably my camera's 6 feet away from me. I cannot go gadget arm 6 feet just to stand in place and focus. So I have to, like, I use Jessica Rabbit. I put Jessica Rabbit on my gaming chair, run behind my camera, try to focus on Jessica, and then move Jessica back, and then I sit and just hope for the best. And I still get comments on all my videos that people are like, your focus is a little off. And I'm like, well, I don't know how to do it any better.
Yo, we should come up with, like, the top 10, like, struggles of content creation at home that people never think about. Like, that's got to be
that sat on my microphone. So I have, I've got it right here. This is my microphone. So it has a second out part that I clip on, and that's, you know, it listens to it. But I'll put it next to me down here out of shot. And if I excitedly lean, I will turn my mic off and not know and continue to record the show. And then when I upload, they're like, you only have half of the segment. And I'm like,
no.
Eyes on the thighs. That's what I've learned. But also, fun fact, I don't think I've ever shot a fresh daily with shoes on.
That's true. I haven't worn shoes in like 120 plus days, I think. I just, no shoes ever. And most days, I'm with you, Mari, most days are pajama pants. It's like I got dressed from here up.
Yep. Yeah, it's an interesting thing, because especially for, you know, like women on set, like our wardrobe hair and makeup is this whole like ordeal that needs to be like, oh, do we have eyes on this? And you know, like you have a little crinkles, you have to check yourself and all this stuff. And it's just kind of like, I don't know. It's not that it's like shoved under a rug right now, but I think everybody just understands, you know, and we're in a world where, you know, I know it doesn't exist anymore, but like the John Krasinskis of the world are making YouTube videos that look like they're made from home because they are, you know, and there's slightly, it's not perfect. You know, Josh Gad has like the full Lord of the Rings cast on a Zoom call and some people are, you know, like jagged 8-bit, but they're still talking and it's totally fine. Like,
and shout out to Josh Gad, by the way, because if anyone who's watched Reunited Apart, A, he's an amazing host, but B, how many angles does he film his intro from? Because every three words he's swapping to a new camera. And it's so impressive. As someone who knows what that takes, I'm like, sir, hats off to you.
I got another fun fact as well for anyone who is watching Fresh Daily on Quibi. And that is, I'm pretty sure Wednesday's episode, look a little closer because you can actually see my mascara has run and two dots are here and here because I had a little cry before the shoot and no one was there to fix my makeup afterwards. So I did the whole shoot with ruined makeup from having a cry. Yay!
Real, dude. That is real.
Yeah.
That is very real. Well, Mari, thank you so much for sharing with us your filming at home tips and techniques and just a little bit of a window into what life looks like for you right now. You are awesome. In just a moment, we will get to your PWR to find out what you're playing, watching, and reading. So everybody, make sure that you stay tuned, and we will be right back with more Mari.
Don't go anywhere, especially you.
All right. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I'm sorry that the notifications do not go off on this channel as they would normally. And that's because we keep these for podcast and for VOD later on the Geek Bomb YouTube channel. So now I would like to take this moment to shout out and say thank you to our new followers, IzzyB82, Woodland Unicorn, Mari, thank you for the host. What?
Hey.
DannyV1124 and Jeff McHugh. Thank you and welcome, everybody. Thank you all for being here live, and we do refer to the live chat, so please keep that coming. And at the end of each playing, watching, and reading segment, our lovely Amy, who is here today, even though you haven't seen her yet, Amy will be pulling questions from chat for Mari and Maud and I to answer, so keep that in mind. Maud, anything you want to get into before we move on?
We will be doing Powered Down as well. We have a new episode that uploads every single week. And that is basically like the after show to this. So it's maybe answering any questions that didn't quite make it in the time frame of the actual show. It's probably telling you why I had a teary during the shoot. It's kind of a little bit more personal and intimate because it is a paid tier perk for $10 and higher.
Okay, so that will be happening after this as well. So thank you again to everyone who's here. And if you are catching this later, listening to it in podcast form or watching it on the Geek Bomb YouTube channel, thank you so much for checking it out there. Catnip Ninja just gifted a sub to Atomic Mari. Thank you, Catnip Ninja, for your generosity. Mari, you are now officially a Dragon Rider, so welcome.
Yay! And ride you shall.
All right. I like that's very that might even be more dramatic than my sub notification.
Well,
my sub notification is Wayne June saying in Darkest Dungeon fashion, "We are building an army," and it's amazing.
And in Darkest Dungeon, I have PTSD from that game.
I love that game.
It's great, but I had the version on the MacBook that would just quit out and wouldn't save the campaign. So you'd be playing it for 4, 5, 7 hours straight, and it would just wipe.
I'm
that
so
happened to me
sorry.
Three times before I realized that I didn't want to.
Don't game on a Mac. Just don't game on a Mac. Okay, we have to move into the next episode. This is actually a great segue into the playing portion of the show. So, Maud, why don't you bring us in?
I would love to. Welcome to the playing portion of Power Up. Hi, I'm Maud Garrett, and I'm joined by Trisha Hershberger, where every single week we talk about what's playing, watching, and reading in people's lives. Usually it's ours, but this is a guest week that we have on, and I'm so thrilled to have this absolute gaming legend as a guest for this Power Up, Mari Takahashi, who has done a bunch of things. She co-founded Smosh Games. She's now on Speedrun, which is a Polygon show on Quibi. She does fantastic things. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm really thrilled to hear about what you've been playing because I know that you love gaming.
Thanks for having me, and thank you for allowing me to be a dragon rider.
Yes.
Very excited about that. Thank you. Quarantine has allowed me to play more video games at night, you know, and spend so much more time not sleeping because, you know, waking up and not having to have to put on makeup sometimes and all that stuff and being a total mess, inside is okay these days. So, yeah. Been playing some stuff.
Tell us about your stream channel, just in case people want to head over there and, I don't know, follow and do that.
Oh, yeah. So I'm now an official Twitch streamer. I've been streaming for 2 months now. and I stream 3 days a week. And two of those days I'm usually chatting and playing games. One of those days will be starting this week, and it'll be a Survivor-centric show. And so I'll have another Survivor castmate of mine. If, for those of you who don't know, I was on Survivor on season 33, Millennials versus Gen X. And Hannah from the show, we are going to be doing just, you know, catching up and talking. Every time we do talk, we talk for like 4 hours at a time. So we're going to be talking, and we're going to be raising money every week for another castmate named Sunday, who is going through a lot of trouble with her health right now. Her cancer has come back, and she's, she's an absolute fighter, and she's one of the most positive people that I've ever come across. But we want to do something for her, and we want to continue to honor our time together on the island. So yeah, that'll be on Sundays. We're calling it Sundays for Sunday.
I love that.
What Let time on Sundays, Mari?
TBA for timing right now. We're trying to figure it out to see what time is best for Sunday as well, as she will be a guest sometimes.
Yes, and Maud was talking about eating Sundays on it.
Oh, that's such a good idea.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Maud, thank you. Producer credit.
If I'm good at anything, it's the idea. Not the execution, just the idea. That sounds really cool. And I love that you're finding routine with that, because I've noticed that especially in lockdown, when I've got like structure in my day, it's been really beneficial for me. What times during the week are you doing your gaming and hang out with Mari sessions?
Those are on Wednesdays and Fridays, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Nice. We got a couple of games that you've been playing here. One of them you're kind of under embargo though, but what can you tell us about the first game?
Okay, the first game is Ghost of Tsushima. It drops about in a week. Actually, in a week it drops. And yeah, you're right. I can't talk about it too much. I will say I'm really, really... I mean, it's gorgeous. But I think everybody knows that, right? Like, everybody knows the Akira Kurosawa inspirations, and just, you know, there's so much movement throughout the entire game that's really beautiful. One thing that I'm really grateful that they have kept true to is how much attention to detail that they've put in with culture and customs as far as the relations that they have with people. I think for us Westerners, it's really easy to see, you know, like a handshake to build trust between people, a hand on the shoulder to create more intimacy with somebody, or to represent that, or even a hug. But they've kept really true to the culture and the customs, and you don't see any of that. And I'm really, really glad they're still able to have this really compelling story come through, and still show that there's trust, relationships, and respect amongst people without having to have to show that there is, you know, physical touch. And I love that about that. I'm grateful for that.
Can you talk a little bit more about both customs in Japan and why physical touch is not necessarily something that is exchanged to build, I guess, bond?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, like, if I don't know about the why, actually. I don't know if it's tied to, you know, things like religion and whatnot. I just know that's always been the way. And I feel like, you know, sometimes in movies and media that gets lost. I think Ghost in the Shell is a really good example of it, where, you know, the title character, she's a Japanese person in the shell of somebody else. And in so many ways, like, I was perfectly fine with Scarlett Johansson playing that role, because at the end of the day, it's just a shell. The outside does not matter. It's who it is on the inside. And, you know, for Kusanagi to be on the inside, I think that it was important for that character to have cultural things that really stood out. You know, it should look like there's somebody else in Scarlett Johansson's body, like somebody else moving inside her body, to the point where those customs should be there. You know, like that hug she had with her mom, I couldn't believe it. I just couldn't, because it's just not customary. I can't, you know, like my mom and I didn't hug until I was well into adulthood and had an embrace like that. I remember my dad talking about people at my mom's business, you know, and she has a ballet school and it's very family centric. There's a lot of families who flow in and out. And because of Western culture, you know, when they're trying to express gratitude, they would hug my dad and say, like, thank you so much, you know, that was a great show and whatnot. And I remember him talking about, he's like, I have to tell you something, Ayako, my mom's name. He's like, Mrs. Wong embraced me tonight. And I'm like, Dad, that was a hug. I'm like, I was there. She was like happy about the performance and she was like saying thank you. And he's like, she embraced me. And I was like, that's a hug, Dad. You gotta get used to it. This is what we do over here.
But I love those sort of differences, and I love the respect behind cultures. You know, I think especially now, it's like we really need to start learning different perspectives and understanding these rituals in a way. And something as small as handing something to someone else is a sign of respect, and you must use two hands to give and to receive. You know, those sorts of things are incredibly integral and important. And I think, you know, it's a sign of respect at the end of the day. But that's really interesting, because that's not something that I would ever sort of like be aware of in a video game in those senses. So I think that's really cool.
Can you tell us, Mari, if you're playing Ghost of Tsushima in Samurai Cinema mode or not?
Yes. So I'm going back and forth with the Samurai Cinema, which is Japanese language, English subtitles, and then the Kurosawa version, which is black and white, in order to, you know, emulate the Kurosawa movies that we all know, like Yojimbo and Seven Samurai and stuff like that. And it's so dramatic. It's very, very dramatic, but at the same time, the colors are just so beautiful. Like, half of my gameplay has been just me taking pictures and doing photo ops, because the world is gorgeous. It's they've kept their foot in rooting it in reality while making it I don't know, like I think highlighting all the mystical parts that nature already like is capable of without making it fantastical.
That's really cool. Yeah, the show that I'm doing for Fandom right now is a weekly video game show, and we did a poll asking people if they thought for Ghost of Tsushima, for their first playthrough, they were going to do the Kurosawa mode, or if they were going to play it through in just normal mode. And overwhelmingly, people said, I'm really excited to check out the Samurai Cinema Kurosawa mode, but on my second playthrough, because the colors are so nice. Yeah.
The best thing about it is that you can go back and forth.
Yeah.
You don't have to stick with the one, which I'm very glad about, because yes, I do think that it is the type of game that many people will play over and over. I think I'll play it three times. The only other game that I've played three times is Skyrim. I think that's the only other game that I've ever done that with. And so it's like, I do think that I will, yeah, I think that's how, many playthroughs. Very exciting.
Very exciting. And now, because we're asking you probably too many questions about Ghost of Tsushima, and I know it's still under embargo, you've been playing a lot of Minecraft Dungeons, haven't you?
Yes. That's been a fun one to play on stream specifically, because, you know, I mentioned before, I really enjoy, taking a look at chat and being active in chat, and Minecraft Dungeons is one of those games where it can become difficult, but at the same time, it's got that nice mindlessness of not having to have to think of too many things at once. Like, it's very it's linear in the sense, you know what you need to get done, you know what you're going to look for. There's no crafting involved. There's just not too much more that you need to focus on. And so I've had a really enjoyable time playing that while being active in the chat.
It's nice. Yeah, it's nice. Well, Maud, it's essentially, I only got to play it for a few hours, so Mari, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's essentially like a Minecraft skin of Diablo. So it's think of Diablo Lite. It's a dungeon crawler, but Minecraft.
Yeah.
And it's so nice to hear you speak of it that way, Mari, because I only played it for a few hours when it was in I think it was either an early beta, streamable beta or something like that. But I didn't enjoy it at all. Now, granted, I played by myself. I wasn't playing with any friends, which I'm sure would make it a lot more fun. But I also was just like, this is so easy. I feel like maybe this is something I could play with my son in a year. But it's not something, it just made me want to play a real dungeon crawler. I wanted to turn it off and play Diablo 2.
It is definitely easy. It is 100% Diablo Lite. Mm-hmm. I think that's why I like it. I think in this world right now, I don't have the heart to play Bloodborne. I just don't. The over and over of defeat, I don't know if I want that in my life right now. And I think that's one of the reasons why Dungeons has been nice for me. It feels like you can kind of leave the game on a win. And yeah, you're totally right. Playing with kids, I think it's a fantastic family game. I'm looking forward to playing it with my nephews, although they're still on Fortnite. They love playing Fortnite. My goodness.
Everybody's favorite.
But
when I did that gig with the giant dude who I think had a kid with a Kardashian, that is not my world, but that was awesome. I was just looking at some the holographic notions of that giant. Is it Travis Scott?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. That was cool.
Yeah. They're having concerts and...
Yeah. We just don't see that in video games. And so I kind of loved that they were breaking down the walls of what is possible in a game. What does a lot of money look like? And I was like, whoa. There it is. That's kind of cool. So yeah, there you go.
I think that it's just the beginning of seeing different modes of entertainment brought into video games. I think, we've already seen, Marvel clashing with Fortnite. We're now seeing concerts in lieu of being able to go to real concerts. We're seeing Black Lives Matter protests happening in Sims. We're seeing all these IRL things clashing with games, and games are now becoming a medium for having live events in lieu of what's happening. I don't think it's going to stop, because there are still people out there who have never been able to go to these, large live events with lots of people for many different reasons, whether it's disabilities or you being compromised or whatnot, or, for any other reasons. Maybe you just don't like crowds, but you still want to be able to appreciate and experience these bigger than life concerts and things like that. I think it's just the beginning.
Yeah, agreed. Shout out to Gary Whitta's Animal Talk, Animal Crossing Animal Talking show.
Yes.
So good. I can't believe he had Sting on as a guest, and Sting did a live set in Animal Crossing. It's crazy. It's very, very cool. Shout out to Gary Whitta. Highly recommend.
Sting plays Animal Crossing?
Apparently.
think that's
got like kids that are right on that age. So I guess it happens through, I mean, I'm making this up now, like how he got into it. Maybe he's just really digging Animal Crossing. But that is all we have for playing. But we are going to move into the Bombs Away Q&A portion where Amy is going to come in. And she's going to ask us a question. But Mari, we'll let you kind of handle the heavy lifting of that question. But hi, Amy. How are you?
Hi.
This week's show.
Yeah. So this question is actually from Geek Bomb's Patreon. Patreon.com/Geek Bomb is where you can go. But I will also be getting one from Twitch right now. So this one's from Ollie Morrison. He asked, if you could spend your quarantine lockdown with any fictional character, who would you choose and what would you get up to?
I'm blushing on mine.
You know, this is the my first answer that I thought of is literally cooking Mama so that she can cook me stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And like, all I want is just some like really yummy like homemade curry rice, because I've made it a couple times, but you know, it doesn't have that like real, like, I don't know what it is, the homemade quality of it. And yeah, I think I just want a cooking Mama to cook for me.
That is smart. You can tell you're married. I am going to go with Link from the Zelda games, because he doesn't talk. All he says is, ha, hey, and that's all I need. I don't
know
what we get up to. I'll let you use your imagination.
Mod, I thought for sure you were going to go that direction with it, but I thought it was going to be Geralt of Rivia. I didn't think you were going to go Link.
You know what? I've seen so much of Geralt's backside that I kind of wouldn't mind looking at the front side. Yeah.
Where's that front side?
What's the front side up to?
Where's the Game of Thrones notification?
Oh, but you know what? Chat brings up a great point. Says Geralt's also very chatty, so you have to keep that in mind if you're going Link for the.
But he's really good at mediating. But I mean, there's no fights breaking out here. There's nothing happening. Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think, Trisha?
I mean, I would probably choose Tifa Lockhart so that she could train me with like Dolphin Flurry, but IRL. Like, I want to learn all the moves. And quarantine's a great time to train with someone, so it would be perfect.
I wouldn't be able to tell the difference.
Ha 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 ha. You're so lovely, and you can be my best friend forever. Yeah. Thank you, Mom.
That's a great question, Ollie. Thanks.
That's a great question.
This next question is from the Catnip Ninja on Twitch right now.
Yeah.
Which would you rather have in real life from games? A save point, a heads-up display, infinite inventory, or you could loot every time you break something?
I would go a save point, because if I did something like, I don't know, got hit by a bus, or, you know, laughed so hard I sharded in front of someone that I liked, you know, I'd be able to be like, hold that thought, and I'd be able to start that day again.
Is a save point immortality?
In a way, yeah, and you get to undo every mistake.
I mean, I guess at some point of old age, you wouldn't be able to, like, save. And, well, I mean, I guess whenever your last save point was, you could keep going back to that save point at the very end if you wanted to. But yeah, I would probably agree with you, Maude. I think save point, because I'm someone who's hypercritical of everything that I do in my life. So it might end up being, like, the worst thing ever for someone who's a bit of a control freak personality type. But I think in the short term, it would make me very happy to be able to undo mistakes.
I'm thinking about it a lot, obviously, because that's what I do. And I'm noticing that, because in a previous game, I saved it at the wrong spot. And so I saved it, you know, right after something really bad had happened, so I could only go back to after that bad thing and not before it. So it's like the time that you save, you have to be really smart with. But then I also thought that if I ever had a child, then after that would be my save point, so I would never have to relive that.
Yeah, good call.
Thank you.
Have you all caught up on Rick and Morty?
No.
I'm not, but that's okay. Go.
There's an episode that is about this, and basically Morty goes through a wonderful life with this person, starts to grow old with this person, but didn't didn't make any save points in that time, and somebody hits the save point thing and goes way back to the beginning.
No!
It's heartbreaking and so real. I don't know. I think I want to loot stuff. I love looting. I want to be a looter. Whatever the loot one is. Break stuff and loot stuff, that's one. I'll pick that one.
Actually, you're getting hate in the comments for not selecting that one as well. So.
Well, because in video games, I am a total loot goblin. Like, don't get me wrong, find the loot everywhere. But in real life, because it had to break something in there, I'd feel bad about breaking and stealing somebody's stuff in real life. Whereas in, like, Final Fantasy VII Remake, for example, I'm like, yeah, I'm taking this material right out of the orphanage. What? That's some loot on the table.
Watchdogs, and you're just, like, walking by and you're like, loot? $5. Ooh, that person got 100.
Yep. I feel like in real life I would feel too guilty, but in video games, 100% loot goblin. Yes.
Great question. Thank you so much, Amy, for the Bombs Away Q&A that we've had for the power section. Watching and reading is still to come, and we're going to bring Mari back to share what she's been doing in those. So guys, make sure that you are following Trisha on her Twitch page and that you are subscribed to Geek Bomb, because there'll be a whole lot more. Don't go anywhere.
Yay. All right. Thank you, new follower Ramon10Centimeter and Rachel Powell. Thank you so much for the host. You guys are awesome. Just a reminder that we do an after show. I said do. That we do an after show called Power Down. Sorry, I'm a child. I'm a child. That's a thing that's on Geek Bomb's Patreon. So just a reminder that that's a thing that lives out there. And yes, absolutely, if you want to watch the show live, participate in live chat, that happens Fridays on twitch.tv/Trisha Hershberger. All right, let's move on into watching and bring back Mari. Go, Mod.
Oh my gosh, we're already up to just watch. We are running behind. Hi, yes. Guys. Welcome to the watching portion of Power Up. My name is Maud Garrett. I'm joined by Trisha Hershberger. Every single week, we talk about what we're playing, watching, reading. But every other week, we ask a guest to do that. And we have an amazing guest on for this particular week. Her name is Mari Tashika. My God, if I talk too fast. Mari Takahashi, who's been doing a bunch of gaming stuff. She just got a brand new job on Quibi doing speedrun. And she's going to tell us what she's been watching. Hello, my love.
Hello. I'm watching.
I'm digging your aesthetic because I've just realized, like, the blue and pink behind you match your purple hair.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's also the colors that don't have any of that weird, like, ray tracing thing that happens with cameras sometimes. So it's a happy coincidence.
Oh, that's
sometimes it does this, like, wave like this.
Oh, I didn't know that.
She probably knows.
Yeah. Like warbling. Ooh. Camera warbling.
Yeah. Yeah, that word. Mm-hmm. That specific word.
It happens. You just had the very first watch through of Hamilton. How was it?
Oh, dude, I'm so late to the game, huh? Like, I knew about the hype for years, and people are like, Hamilton. I'm like, yeah, I'll go watch it sometime. But I haven't watched a musical in a while, and I haven't. So, yeah, I'm very late. My Discord and I, we had a watch party just a few nights ago. It was the first watch through, and I got to watch it again. But upon first watch through, mind absolutely blown. I love that it is historically accurate. One of the songs is about, you know, who will tell your story, like, how will you be remembered? And it's so poignant in the fact that, like, at the end of it, we're talking about Eliza, who is Hamilton's wife, who I had never, and probably a lot of people have never even heard of before. You know, everybody knows Alexander Hamilton, everybody knows the $10 bill, but, you know, how many of us really know Eliza? And so it's one of these things where I'm grateful that these stories are being talked about, written about, made musicals about. And I think it's just continues to say, like, it's important that we highlight stories that need to be heard, and continue to do that with whatever platforms or mediums that we do have. Keep the conversation going.
I wasn't even, like, so psyched for the content of, like, oh my God, tell me about Alexander Hamilton. I haven't slept because I don't know. For me, it was how they told the story. And Lin-Manuel Miranda has just proven that content that, like, a history that maybe super boring reading about. It's the way you tell the story that can be entertaining and captivating. And like previously, I'm like, it's not really my history. I don't really know anything about this Hamilton dude. But then when I was watching it, I was like, I am yearning to learn about this story because of like just the, he's a word wizard, you know? Like it was just fun in that regard. And I'm like, man, this is also a little bit like a soap opera. There's a lot of affairs happening. He can't keep it in his pants. He seems like an alcoholic. I was like, okay, shit's going down. And ships are.
It's true. And I have to say, Maude, if you're feeling like that, if you're like, you know, it's not really my history, but when it's told in a really exciting way, I have to recommend, and this is such like a deep cut, but did anyone ever watch the John Adams HBO miniseries starring Paul Giamatti?
No.
It is so good. And that's exactly how I felt about it. That's why it made me think about it, Maude, because I was like, this isn't a part of history I've ever been like, please tell me more. But it's Paul Giamatti and Laura Linney. And they are so good. It's so good that I was like, now I like that part of history because of that. So highly recommend. But yes, Lin-Manuel Miranda is just amazing. And you know, it's interesting, a lot of the conversation that Hamilton has brought up online, given the BLM movement and stuff, because there's a lot of people who are like, think that Hamilton is problematic, where it wasn't when it first came out on Broadway, because we were under the Obama administration and feelings were a little different, but under the current feelings and everything that's going on with BLM, that maybe, you know, telling and kind of glorifying the white founders who had slaves and not telling the slave story in that storytelling is slightly problematic. And I think it's given rise to a lot of really wonderful conversation that Lin-Manuel Miranda has been a huge part of. He's been, you know, really involved in helping lead that conversation and say, you know, let's talk about how it could be told differently and that kind of thing. So that's all been fascinating just around it as well.
100%. Who are your standout actors and performers in it, Mari?
Definitely Eliza in all of her songs. I had to ask my chat, I'm like, is it terrible that I love the king? Like, he's so funny. Well,
Jonathan Groff is amazing. So you just have to understand Jonathan Groff is amazing, and then Jonathan Groff in Hamilton is extra amazing.
Yeah. I think that, you know, it's one of those characters where it's easy to say, like, you're supposed to make fun of this character, and he knows it. And, you know, it's all the things that has been romanticized about the English king, you know, he comes out with and exudes in that. Gosh, so many characters. I forget the person who plays him, but the Lafayette and Thomas Jefferson character too.
Thomas Jefferson, who is my absolute crush. He wrote and starred in a film with his white best friend, because, you know, he is an actual rapper and he writes a lot of that kind of music. And it's a movie called Blindspotting, and it's talking about what it's like to be and grow up in a black community in LA, but also with having a white friend. So the white friend grew up with a black best friend and kind of adopted a lot of these traits. But as adults, they really had to reflect, this is sort of like my background and my community. And it's like, you're sort of adopting this, but you're not black. And that was just like such a powerful movie. And if you guys haven't seen it, it's such a great watch. Blindspotting. And what's her name? Janina is in it. 2 seconds.
Is Janina in it?
Franca. Yeah. She's in it. She's really great too. But with Jonathan Groff, like seeing him as the king, King George, because obviously he's massive in Broadway. He's done a lot of that stuff. But realizing that he's in Frozen. What's his name?
He's Kristoff in both Frozen and Frozen 2. And he has an even bigger role in Frozen 2. I saw a tweet from someone that was like, Jonathan Groff is living his best Disney Plus life right now. I was like, 100% yes.
My favorite is being it. Oh my gosh, he's going to be in The Matrix 4. I just got a Maude boner. My favorite thing that I've seen him in is Mindhunter, which is my favorite show of last year. And he's so different in that. And I'm pretty sure he's gay in real life, if I'm not mistaken.
But he played. Don't know.
Really?
Maybe.
I'll find out in 3 seconds.
Look it up. He was also played Lea Michele's boyfriend in Glee for a while, which I didn't make that connection until very recently. Someone pointed that out to me, and I'm like, oh, that was him, huh?
I'm such a Hamilton noob. I feel like I'm learning so much.
Yeah, yeah. He publicly came out in 2009. Yeah, yeah. Very known that he's gay. Yeah. So it was really interesting seeing him play very much a straight man in Mindhunter. Mm-hmm. And the girl who played his girlfriend in season 1 was infuriating. But then I like went deep into Reddit because she was so bland and boring, and it sounded like she just, you know, when you do an audition and you have someone read the line so that you can do the audition, that's how she was acting, and it bothered me so much. Mm. Then I went to this Reddit forum because Mindhunter is all about reading into people's psyches. She was so attractive because she was so monotonal and so unexpressive that he couldn't ever read her, and that was exciting. And
then interesting. That's cool. That's like, a cool take.
I just thought she was a bad actress and that she was wrecking a really good show for me. So I got to the bottom of that.
All right, Mari. So there's a couple other things in this picture here that you told us you were currently watching. Let us know what else is going on your TV.
Oh, yeah. Samurai Champloo. Second watch through. Yeah, second watch through this time with the hubby. And it's as good as I remember. It's one of my favorite animes and one of my favorite intros to animes as well. It's got like a real cool like mashup of hip hop and samurai, like Edo era. I think it's Edo era. Yeah, it's Edo era in Japan. It's historical fiction, but more leaning heavily on the fiction portion of it. It's stylized and it's a good one. It's a good samurai anime if you're looking for one. There's so many out there, but it's one.
Legit kind of looks like Brock from the Pokemon animated series all grown up.
Hilarious. Yeah. that's Mugen. He comes from more of, I would think, like something that is equivalent to, you know, coming from like one of the islands like Hiroshima, and he's a little bit different. He's got a different vibe than everybody. He's got different morals. He's kind of like a wild guy, and the guy on the far right is more of, you know, he sticks with like the Bushido sort of constraints, and he has a certain way of looking at the world, and they're total opposites. But like the glue that keeps them together is the girl in the middle. And for, you know, there's no reason why they want to help her out, but she has a way of bringing the two together in order to help her seek out a certain person in the world.
Okay.
I love that. I have not seen that at all. Have you, Maud?
No. I watched a lot of anime when I was in high school, and then I kind of dipped out, and I have been meaning the last few years to get back into it in a big, big, big way. And I watched one last year, and I loved the first sort of 5 episodes. What was it called? I got recommended it. It's where they got stuck inside the MMORPG. They got stuck inside the video game.
Sword Art Online.
Yes. And then like, halfway through that season, I'm like, what? Where's this? What's happening? They got a kid, they're teenagers, and now they got a kid. And I was like, this is weird. And I kind of bowed out.
Sword Art goes through a little dip and a dive. It starts out really strong. I think it ends strong. Season 2 is terrible. Alicization is better. There's a lot of iterations of it. Yeah, Sword Art's got a, it's a roller coaster.
Yeah.
But yeah, for someone who's never watched, it's how do you say it, Samurai Champloo?
Yeah.
Okay. For someone who's never seen that, what would be like your 1 or 2 sentence pitch, Mari?
Let's see. I would say stylized samurai, like buddy comedy, but also something that goes into more like darker territory, more violent, that has a hip hop twist to it, which makes it very, very unique.
That is very cool. Love it. Yeah. All right. And you also are watching Disclosure.
Oh yeah. So I stumbled upon Disclosure on Netflix, and I had no idea what it was about. And from the title, I couldn't understand what it was, but I was like, Disclosure sounds fun. I'll play it. it's so good. It is, it has an interview with, I want to say maybe like 10 to 15 trans folk. And they're talking about how media, as we've seen it, and the portrayal of trans people in media has, if anything, not warped our reaction to trans people, but I would say it has shaped how we both look at, react, speak to, and speak about trans men and women. And it's going back in time to, you know, like olden days, and how it was, how they were portrayed, to more recent ones and movies that we grew up on, like Ace Ventura. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like from what I remember of Ace Ventura, it was a really funny movie, and a castmate of mine from Survivor is on that, Zeke, who is transgender, and he's talking about how, you know, one day he was feeling down, so he wanted to watch this movie that always uplifted him as a kid. And so often the punchline or the joke of something is finding out that somebody is transgender in a TV or a film, and then people vomiting. And that has always been like a comedic sort of thing seen so many times in films. It's one of these things where it's like, it was such a trope that to somebody like myself who has to, you know, check her privilege of not being in that position and not understanding how hurtful that is it's a trope that needs to be talked about and understood better and fixed in television. Another trope that has been seen in media is transgender people being killed and, you know, like murdered, brutally, you know, brutal violence, like, happening upon them, and that being another thing where it's just like over and over it's been on different TV and movie
a lot of times trails. The reason behind it, it's like the reason why they got beat up is because they deserved it, and that's usually like the plot device. Yeah.
Or a lot of times the plot device, and I know they talk about this in Disclosure. I watched this too. Highly recommend. I'm with you, Mari. Another one that they use too is the idea that the trans person was somehow tricking people,
right?
And right. So that's it, kind of gives this fear mongering culture that you could be bamboozled, or the person's intentionally trying to trick you. Mm-hmm. And it's true, you know, given the privilege that you may have as someone who is not trans, never having to think about that, you would understand 100% how that would be so hurtful to then have your experiences and your relationships in real life impacted by what media has kind of told people to believe about trans. But yeah, I think this is another really good one, along with 13th. And like, if you're trying actively to educate yourself right now and look into the various issues and just expand your horizons, highly recommend Disclosure. Good call, Mari.
Yeah, I love that.
Thank you. Really good.
The watching portion at the moment, but we do have Bombs Away Q&A where Amy's going to come in. She's going to drop some questions for Mari and
questions.
Welcome back, Amy.
Hi, thank you. So this one is from Geek Bombs Patreon, patreon.com/geekbomb. I will also be getting one from Twitch right now. This one's from Steven Summers. If you were in a Hamilton-like duel, who would you choose as your second?
As my second, as in who I'm dueling?
I read it as like someone that would be on your side.
Yeah, they're on your side, and they would try and shoot that person for you. Someone who you try to like get into shit with.
Oh my gosh. I don't want them to shoot anyone. Those duels are so scary. I can't believe that was just like a regular way of settling disputes. Can you imagine?
Wild Wild West as well, though, you know, if someone just challenges you, you walk 10 steps, turn around, pachung, like, yeah, there's no rhyme or reason to it. It doesn't make sense at all, and it's basically toxic masculinity at its finest. It's been ingrained in culture. But in saying that, if Trisha turned around and tapped me on the shoulder and she's like, all right, we're gonna go kill someone, I wouldn't have questions. I'd be like, all right,
here we go.
All right.
Man. So I got Trisha's second.
Well, and especially because, you know, if, like, I try to be peaceful at all times, so you know if I'm like, hey, we got to kill this guy, that we really got to kill whoever it is.
Oh, yeah. They are not a good person. And a better thing to do would be to remove them from the planet. Yeah, yeah, done.
Oh, man. I feel like I'd pick, like, The Rock, because I feel like he would be able to, like, figure out the situation. I feel like he'd just be like, oh, let's figure this out. This is, like, impression in history. But he'd be like, listen here, let's sit down and let's have a one-on-one talk. I don't know what that's going to work, but...
The second plays the role, thank you, Dante, for reminding us, the second is your witness slash negotiator. So the seconds go in and they talk it out to see if they can stop it from happening. So maybe in that instant, I could talk it out.
Yeah, I feel like they would listen to The Rock.
Oh, for sure.
I'm going to go...
Like, we can talk or we can fight. And they'd be like, you know what? Words are great.
Can it be someone who's no longer with us?
Yeah.
Sure, why not?
I'm going Mr. Rogers.
That's a good one.
Mr. Rogers can calm anybody down and make them see reason. It's pretty hard to stay mad when you're talking to Mr. Rogers. So I'm going with that.
Amy would be pretty good. She's 4'11", so when they turn around and shoot, it'd go over their head for sure.
Thanks. Thank you.
Yeah. It's all right, Amy. I feel you on that.
That is an asset. I am dead instantly. They'll try to shoot me in the head and they'll get my heart, you know, like... That's a double whammy.
There are so many perks to being short, I have to say. Yeah, Trish, we get it.
You're better at dodgeball. I mean, that's the big one that I always thought of.
Weaving through crowds. The list is infinite. So this next question is from El Efron on Twitch right now. What was your favorite anime from childhood, Mari?
My favorite from childhood? Rurouni Kenshin definitely, like, was something that stayed with me. I remember going, like, on a trip to Japan and looking for a single of the intro music and, like, going all over Tokyo trying to find this one CD, and I found it, and it was like a mini CD of the title sequence. I think it was called Sobakasu, and it was so hard to find. I grew up on, like, Dragon Ball, but I don't remember anything. Like, I was watching it on VHS in Japanese that my aunt would send me, so, like, it's kind of like asking someone, like, sorry?
Hell Saga? Boo Saga? That's what I grew up watching. Dragon Ball GT, like, the absolute gem. I loved it. Cell Saga.
Yeah.
I tried so hard. Gosh.
I remember the way where, you know, somebody was like, oh, try to remember, I don't know, like, an episode of Sesame Street. It's like, I don't know. There were, like, characters around. It's kind of like that, because I was watching Dragon Ball when I was, like, 6 to 8 years old, probably, on VHS.
Oh, okay, I was like 14 to 16.
Yeah, which is why I don't really remember stuff. I just remember, like, stuff like that. Yeah, but it's normal. It's pretty normal, like, Japanese, like, kids TV that you would watch.
What?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Like, they bleed. They often.
I guess they do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also have a brother who's much older than I am. So, you know, whether those were intended for my brother or not, I would watch the VHS tapes, because I'm 107 years old.
Apparently. Yes. No, seriously, I think that's awesome. I never watched anime as a kid because I didn't have access to it. It, like, wasn't a thing, because I'm getting up there in years, and the internet in a household wasn't really a thing until I was in high school. So being able to, like, find anime via the internet, I don't even know how you would find it before that or how I would have found it before that. So the closest thing I had was whatever was on TV, which, like, my sister watched Sailor Moon sometimes.
Yeah. I had that.
Oh, yeah.
I've got to thank the programmers for a morning TV show called Cheese TV, where, you know, there'd be, like, links between the shows with two hosts, and I ended up being one of those on Nickelodeon, which is why Avatar is one of the best shows of all time. But they programmed Sailor Moon, Dragon Ball Z, Pokemon, like, all of those, but there was all English dubbed, of course, and I didn't really compute that there was any other sort of version of them. But, like, every single morning I would do that because my parents are full-time workers. They would leave at 7 a.m. and I would, you know, sleep in and then ride myself to school for an hour and a half, I would watch cartoons every morning before it.
Awesome. Oh, man, the good old days, right? All right, well, Mara, yeah. Thank you so much for sharing with us what you've been watching. Those are great recommendations. Folks in chat or in the comments, if you are watching this later, let us know what you've been watching as well. And if you had a chance to view any of the stuff that Mari recommended. And stick around, because in just a moment, we will be coming back with more Mari so that Mari can tell us all about what she has been reading. Stay tuned. All right, thank you, guys. Everybody live on Twitch right now. You're the bomb. Nafa Sadat cheered with 1,000 bits. Thank you for the 1,000-bit cheer. You the MVP. Sorry I couldn't say anything when you did it because we don't have notifications on for this show, but you're awesome and I appreciate you. Nis Aerith, thank you so much for the follow. Rune Ruler 74, Buddha Bose Pro A, and Al Shark, thank you all so much for the follows. You guys are awesome. Thank you for being here today. And we have one more segment of the show that we're going to do that Mari has been gracious enough to join us for this week. So we're going to jump into that in just a second. Let me switch over something real quicksy-like. Ma, do you have anything you want to shout out?
Mari, are you hearing the static noises? Are you hearing any static noises?
I don't hear it now, but I was hearing it during the last segment.
But Trisha, you can't hear that.
I can hear it sometimes, and mm-hmm. I do think it still is having to do with whether Amy is on mute or not.
Yeah, okay. Just checking. Just wanted to get my head around it because I just never knew if it was just me or not.
Nope.
I don't know. And any other time, Amy, it doesn't come up. It's just when we're on.
We'll see what happens. Okay. So everything is pretty much ready to go whenever you guys are ready.
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 Ready to rock and roll for reading. We are up to the reading component of playing, watching, reading. Thank you so much for joining us. I am Maud, joined by Trisha Hershberger and her beautiful Triforce necklace. I love it.
That I live in. I swear it's like I rarely ever take it off because it matches everything. I actually got this bomb Witcher sigil necklace for Mother's Day because this is the relationship my husband and I have. I put that on today and I was like, oh, it sits a little low on this shirt. I'm going to go back to my Triforce. But I, no joke, have that conversation with myself every time I put on a necklace. That I'm always like, you know what? I'm just going to go with the Triforce all the time.
Yeah, I think I'm the kind of person where if I'm going to wear jewelry, if I put it on, I'm not going to take it off. So I just got mine permanent. We are joined by Mari Takahashi, who is an amazing, yay, wonderful fellow creator in the space. If you're not following her new Twitch channel, you should be because she's just started streaming. And that's pretty awesome. But we're going to talk about what you're reading. And one of the first things that you said, Twitter and Reddit. So you are just all over them socials. And I'm going to challenge you. What are some of the things that you've been finding out on Twitter and Reddit that's caught your eye?
I mean, on Reddit, let's see.
What are the subreddits that you follow?
The ones that offer any sort of reading, although it's not substantial, is TIFU, which is Today I F'd Up. It's nothing substantial. It's usually just funny stories where people have found themselves in awkward situations and whatnot. Just spilling a little bit of tea from their life, you know, and a lot of the times it's anonymous. Let's see.
I kind of like that. I like normalizing sharing when you stuffed up because that means that you're admitting fault. And I think more people need to harness the fact that we're not all perfect. And we can do things wrong sometimes and to kind of just be like, whoop, I fucked up.
Yep. 100%. I love that you took something so trivial on my end and you made it deep. Thank you, Maud.
That's what Maud does. That's how she do.
Cynical though.
And I also have to say, Mari, I love that you were able to keep it positive. Because if someone asked me right now what I'm learning from Twitter and Reddit, I would be like, the world is on fire. That's what I'm learning right now. So thank you for keeping it positive as well.
I mean, that's there, but it's also, you know, there's the silver linings. It's on fire, but we're all in it there together, you know, and we're all figuring it out.
We're on fire, but it's getting just a little toasty. That's all. It's just a little toasty.
Well, no, yeah, but instead of just the single dog in the room saying this is fine, it's just a lot of dogs.
Yeah. But you know what? This is sometimes when my brain becomes positive. Isn't he holding a cup of coffee? It's all you need. It's all you need. If the world's on fire and I got a cup of coffee, then I'll just take a sip and get through it.
And he looks quite fashionable too, because I think he's got a top hat on.
Got a little hat on. Look at his stylish pooch just running through. Goals, really? I'm jealous of the dog all of a sudden. And he's
dressed and got his coffee.
You've also been starting Sandman. Now, I really wanted to have a chat with you about this, mainly because I wanted to listen to it on Audible. So the first question I have for you is, A, what's it about? Second question, is the narrator good?
Yeah, so it's off of Neil Gaiman's graphic novel, Sandman. I'm very, very early on. The narrator is great. And you know, it continues to sort of like put you into this like sort of dreamy, ethereal sort of world talking about it. I in Neil Gaiman I trust, you know, like I know that he oversaw this, and most of the times when Audible has like their exclusives, the person behind it or the author usually has a good handle on how it, you know, is presented on Audible. So I think they've done a really good job so far on Audible, to be honest.
Because this was a comic book, it is a very famous comic book series. Has Neil Gaiman then fleshed it out completely and made it a book?
I don't know about that. The Sandman was always a graphic novel series that was on my I gotta read that list, you know, and I never did, which one of the reasons why it's I'm glad that I can consume it in this way.
Yeah, and that's always such an interesting conversation then when you talk about taking a comic book or a graphic novel and turning it into an audible book, an audiobook, because there's inevitably so much of the storytelling that is done with the graphics and with the art that you would miss out on if you're only taking that. So, I mean, in the audiobook, from what you've heard so far, is there a lot of narration kind of explaining that stuff? And I feel like that's kind of what it would be, Maude, you know, when you asked, like, have they fully fleshed it out to make it read more like a novel? It almost seems like that would be necessary to translate a graphic novel to audiobook form.
Yeah, it reads like a novel. It does not read like a comic book series, for sure.
That's cool. I'm actually looking at, I'm doing a little bit of a Google, and on the wiki for The Sandman, something that's really cool is that it's one of the first few graphic novels ever to be on the New York Times bestseller list. And it's one of five graphic novels to make it into Entertainment Weekly's 100 Best Reads from 1983 to 2008. Awesome. So that's like the 25-year chunk there. And came in at number 46. I don't know why I haven't read this, but I think I'm going to do the audiobook. And they're saying that in 2013, Warner Brothers announced that they're going to be producing a film adaptation of the comic book with Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah.
He dropped out in 2016. And then it's being developed by Netflix.
Okay.
And then I just Googled the audio version that we are talking about as well. I haven't heard all of these actors come on just yet, but these are some of the actors who are on this audiobook. James McAvoy. We all love James McAvoy.
Love
McAvoy. Kat Dennings, Taron Egerton, Michael Sheen, which is fantastic. Michael Sheen back for another Neil Gaiman.
Yeah.
Riz Ahmed. I haven't seen Riz Ahmed do anything since Rogue One, but
The Night Of.
Oh yeah?
The Night Of was a series that he did. I pretty much watched it on one flight the entire first season. It's this guy, I think he was dropping something off to a girlfriend, but then walked into the apartment, realized she'd been murdered, and then he got arrested for the murder. And it shows his time in the prison system, trying to be represented by a lawyer that knows that he's also innocent, but seeing how corrupt and how sort of like defiling the criminal justice system is and what it's like being in prison. And over time, he turns into this really innocent sort of like tech kid to being a full-on sort of like key player in gang-related drug dealing and murders within the prison scope.
Wow.
Super intense. It's really, really well done.
I love the roles he takes, and I know he's been very vocal about why he takes certain roles and why he doesn't take certain roles. And as a Middle Eastern man, you know, like he's had to deflect away from taking so many of the roles that were given to him early on in his career, which is, you know, terrorist number five and, you know, really negative ways of Middle Eastern men being portrayed in media. And so it's really cool that the projects that he has chosen in his career. And then Andy Serkis is also another actor.
Awesome.
Who is voice acting in this.
I think I'm going to have to do it. I'm going to buy it. I've got 2 credits.
I'm in. I have 7 credits available because I haven't gotten anything new since I was driving. And we've been in quarantine for so long. So I'm just going to have to use up some of my credits and add Sandman now. Thank you, Mari.
We can all talk about it in a couple of weeks.
Trish, if you need recommendations for anything, I am your girl. I've got...
Perfect. I need both recommendations and an extra like 6 hours in the day each day. Yeah. And then I'll be all over these new books. Because all my listening time was driving time, because then I can multitask. And now that I'm not driving anywhere, there goes my listening time. But you guys have questions for us, so let's bring in Amy for Bombs Away Q&A. Hi, Amy. Welcome back.
Hi. So this one is from Patreon, patreon.com/geekbomb. This one is from Nathan Swap. I will also be getting one from Twitch, so get those ready. What nonfiction books are on your list to read?
I can show you. I've actually got Audible open right now because I was trying to buy the book. But one of the books that I have bought recently, which I'm really excited to...
1,053 people.
There it is. Why Are All the Black Kids Sitting Together in the Cafeteria is one of the books that I have bought. It is by, and other conversations about race. It is by Beverly Danielle Tatum, who has her PhD, and it's the 20th anniversary edition. I did a lot of research about what would probably be the most effective for me, and this kind of like starts in childhood and how that's where we sort of first learn about systemic racism and the impact racism has. And then as you grow up, how that then evolves and affects. And just to kind of learn and have conversations about race. So that is a big one that I am really excited to get into. And I usually don't read or listen to nonfiction, but I obviously figure like I got to stop escaping and I got to start a living and facing.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
What about you guys?
I've always really enjoyed books by Malcolm Gladwell, but I haven't read a Malcolm Gladwell book in a long time, and I know he came out with one last year, and it's called Talking to Strangers, What We Should Know About the People We Don't Know. And it studies the miscommunication, interactions, and assumptions people make when dealing with those that they don't know. And I think that's really interesting considering the times that we live in and, you know, whenever we see Twitter trending and there's more tea about somebody out there that, you know, most of us don't know, but there's a lot of talk and a lot of chatter that happens around it. What it does to us, you know, in our psyche when we hear these things and then, you know, like chew on it and understand it. What it does. And I've always enjoyed the way that he studies, just because I feel like he really gets in there and has so many different case points. So I like his books.
That's awesome. Yeah, the one that I haven't read that I want to read is Michelle Obama's book. I hear that there's a lot of really great sections in there about dealing with stress on a marriage, like outside stressors. So obviously she was dealing with the president, the stress of the job of the presidency and first lady, which I in no way am trying to compare what we're dealing with. But being in a quarantined household for this long with a toddler and having two people trying to work full-time careers at the same time while taking care of a toddler 24/7 has put a lot of stress on us in different ways that we never saw coming. And so I feel like I might have a lot to learn from somebody else's experience kind of in that realm. So that would be my nonfiction book that I want to check out.
She also has a great documentary on Netflix, which talks about her doing the book tour for Becoming Michelle. And she touches on, I only saw like a little bit of it, but touches on sort of like what it is like being the wife. And, you know, her kind of going, it was a really big role and responsibility for me. And all of the torment and trolling and incessant sort of like negative bullshit that was thrust upon her all the time just for existing. And it was comparisons of previous first wives and the treatment that they got and the treatment that, you know, her husband and she was getting being black. And it was like, you know, big points and cases. Like, a lot of people didn't know she was tutoring Barack. That's how they met. She was his tutor. She was the smart one. Like, obviously he was very brilliant as well. I'm pretty sure she went to Princeton. And it was talking about how she was one of the few handful of black students at Princeton and constantly needed to sort of like
fascinating
validate herself and her existence there as well. And I thought that that was really incredible. And like more and more when I hear her, she's such a role model. And her big thing is doing book clubs and teaching young women that they are important, that they can break through sort of like the systemic hardships and succeed. So I'm really, really keen to read Becoming Michelle. My mum got it for me for Christmas last year. And I'm like, oh, thank you, Mama.
Yay. Yeah. That's awesome.
Great question. Now, have you got one from Twitch?
Yeah.
Yes. So this one's from Dante Bogdan. Have any of you ever thought about writing a comic book?
No.
I have not, because I have enough friends that do it and I know how hard it is to get off the ground every step of the way. And I have so much admiration and respect for my friends that have self-published comic books or, you know, done it from the indie ground up. Same thing with my friends that publish tabletop games and, you know, really trying to do anything yourself, which is the world that we live in now, thanks to YouTube and Twitch and all of these digital content creation platforms, that you no longer need to know someone at a major studio to get your work out there. But doing it yourself does mean that you need to do every part, every aspect of building it yourself. And it's such a huge undertaking. I mean, if a friend reached out to me and said, hey, I've already got this all put together, would you like to work on this comic book I'm making? Yes, 100%. I would jump at that opportunity. But for me to start out of nowhere and just be like, let me build this thing, I don't know that I would have the energy or the patience to do that.
Mari?
I think it's, you know, it's been a fleeting thought, but it's also one of these things where it's like, I want to do this without understanding what goes into it. I remember, must have been seven, 8 years ago. I did a photo shoot for this like concept character. And I was like, oh man, all I want to do is just make this into a graphic novel. You know, didn't, of course, but it's also, you know, having these sort of like fleeting, like big ideas without really understanding the undertaking of what it takes to create something like this. So yeah, the thought has been there, Dante. The execution has never been there.
And in saying that, I kind of want to shout out Sam Basher, who's in the midst of writing a comic book at the moment. DJ Wooldridge, who has put out a comic book series, Zombie versus Dinosaurs, I think it's called. Don't quote me on that, but that's basically the premise. And Steve Zaragoza, who teamed up with a friend, Brett Riviera, who also put out a comic book as well. Like, it is an undertaking, and I don't read comics, so like that's not really my platform or forum that I would want to explore in a creative sense. But people that have done it, I mean, I'm giving you a shout out because you're amazing. Good on you.
Yeah, Jason Inman and Ashley Robinson and their Jupiter Jet series, like they've now done a few versions of and a few releases of. It's just, yeah, hats off to all those people, because it is not a small undertaking in any way, shape or form.
But thank you so much for the amazing questions. And Mari, thank you so much for joining us on this week's edition of Power Up. Really,
thanks for having me.
People to follow you, where can they find you all over the webs?
You can follow me on you can find me at Atomic Mari everywhere. And then if you have Quibi, find my show Speedrun alongside, of course, Mod's show as well.
you.
Yay.
They're part of the Daily Essentials series, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Daily Essentials. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Daily gaming, daily streaming. The stuff that we do every day now that we've got all this time. Please don't punch me, Trisha. Thank you so much. I really do appreciate that. We are going to button off here and we are going to record Power Down. And again, that is a perk for $10 and higher if you want to get access to that one. But until then, be well. Trisha, when are you next recording and streaming?
I am next streaming this evening, actually. I have a charity D&D event raising money for No Kid Hungry that's going on tonight at 4 p.m. Pacific time, 7 p.m. Eastern time, and I'll be hosting it on this Twitch channel, but the Twitch channel that it's actually airing on will be Geekly Inc., and I'm joined by B. Dave Walters and Erica Ishii and some other lovely folks in the industry, and I know every single donation gets to impact the adventure in one way or the other, and so our task that we need to do is push a lemon cart up the hill. And I think everything that happens from there is going to be donation driven. So it's going to be hilarious. And that's tonight and tomorrow at the same time. So please check it out. That's the next thing I'm doing that's live. How about you, Maud?
I want to sleep.
I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. and then after that, the next time I'll be live on this channel. So tonight and tomorrow night, Charity D&D. And then Sunday morning, I'll be live on this channel for more of The Last of Us.
Oh, I will announce, though, that I'm taking steps into making Fungeons and Flagons Season 3. So button up your ball sacks for that one, people. I don't even know what that means. I just said it. What does that mean?
I don't know. It's a thing. Do it.
I know, but Amy's cringing at me, and I earned that. All right, guys, thank you so much. Make sure you're following Trisha's Twitch channel. Make sure that you are following and subscribe to Geek Bomb. Make sure if you want to listen to this in podcast form, maybe you've only just tuned in and you're like, I like to listen. We have a podcast as well if you just search Geek Bomb. Thank you so much, guys. We'll see you next week.
Yay. Thank you, everybody. And for those of you here in chat, thank you so much, Star by Heart, for the resub. Welcome back to the Dragon Riders. You're amazing. Welcome to the new followers who are here today as well, Owl Shark and Lord Coyote 2000. You guys are awesome. Thank you so much for tuning in live to today's episode of Power Up. Again, a huge thank you to Mari Takahashi for being an amazing human being. And yeah, go follow all the people, all the places. And if you're a Geek Bomb Patreon, we'll see you on the after show. Okay, bye everybody.